The Sunday immediately following Pentecost has been, for centuries anyways, the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. And of course, what's sort of funny about that is everything we do when we worship God is to the Holy Trinity. But we've just finished this immense season of remembering first the passion, death, resurrection of the Lord, and then the 40 days of Easter, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And now we turn our attention for this day on the Holy Trinity. And the virtue that, in a sense, weaves its way through everything in the Mass today is the theological virtue of faith. In the final prayer for the Mass today, it makes this beautiful reminder of what we're hoping for. The Latin is a little more clear than the English because it ties together that first we pray that it will profit us for our salvation, both body and soul, first by receiving the Most Holy Eucharist and also by professing our faith in the Triune God. And it may seem like those are in a certain way distinct, but they absolutely are not. Because the first act of faith that we make is not in the Blessed Sacrament, it's in the Triune God. The three persons in one God who are perfectly united. There aren't three gods, but one, but the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so the Trinity is, not only is it the foundation of everything we believe, the Trinity is the foundation of everything. Of everything that exists, of reality itself. But we could never have known it unless he had revealed himself. And we know in the Old Testament, the Jews would use Deuteronomy, the Lord himself would quote it, you know, that God is one, the great Shema, as they call it. But God would send his Son to reveal that, yes, he is one, but there are three persons in that one God. And of course, that means that they have, in a real way, a relationship. The relation of the Father and the Son to the Father, such a powerful relationship that the third person, the Holy Spirit, is spirated through the very love of the Father and the Son. Now, when you study Trinity, there is an immensely complex vocabulary that goes with it, which is sort of interesting because God himself is simple, because God is. But he's revealed himself in such a way that we can know him. And one of the things that we know instinctively, just by the way that most of us are born, is a relationship. And so then when you think about this relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you realize that the Trinity did not keep that relationship to itself, but it overpoured this relationship into the world. First, through creation. I always teach in OCIA that when somebody tells me they're an atheist, I tell them they have more faith than I do, because they have to deny what they see. This immense order in the world, and to pretend that it came from chaos, but it came from God, who is not chaos. But it wasn't just in creation that God revealed himself. We know from St. Luke, in the fullness of time, he would send his Son. And the Lord today tells us exactly how important that act of faith is. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have salvation. And so, going off of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, we're saved by grace through faith. And that's an important way to say it. The Protestants like to say they're saved by faith alone, but we say we're saved by grace through faith because salvation is first and foremost an action on God's part before it is on anything on our part. But his grace gives us the ability to say, and mean, I believe in the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so even though this day only comes up once a year, it's foundational to everything we do. The Trinity is foundational to everything we do as Catholics. And it's a great reminder as we think about the gift, the virtue of faith, that is a gift from God, that we have to believe everything that the Lord reveals. When Protestants become Catholic at the Easter Vigil, there's a little line that they say that's so beautiful. I believe in everything that the Holy Catholic Church teaches as revealed by God in Scripture and tradition. You don't have to know every single thing. You can make that act of faith on the power of God's grace and the assent of your own will with that grace. But you do have to believe everything. St. Thomas, when he talks about the gift of faith, says, if you say, I do not believe this, then you no longer have faith, you only have opinions, because you've made yourself the arbiter of what God has revealed. But God did not make each individual in the world to decide what he revealed. He left us a church, and a church that's ruled by apostles at first and then successors to the apostles, and he gave them the Holy Spirit. And we've heard during the Easter season many times the Lord say that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Now that does work individually, but it's also a guarantee to the church. And so the act of faith is so important for us to follow the Lord. And then once we make the act of faith in the triune God and that he has revealed himself, we can, in a certain sense, concretize it every time we come to church. Because when we come up to Holy Communion, we see the Blessed Sacrament, and the priest or the extraordinary minister says, the body of Christ. And our response is, Amen. And that Amen is not just that this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. It's also a statement of faith that I, to the best of my knowledge, am in union with him and about to have a profound union with the Lord in the most blessed sacrament, because I'm also in union with his church. Because I believe everything that the Holy Catholic Church teaches as revealed by God in Scripture and tradition. So we should never take lightly when we stand up in a few moments and say, I believe, because we've been given a profound gift, and whoever believes will not be condemned, but will be saved.